Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, we are past spring practice. We thought this might be a quiet week. It's not. We've got a lot going on, don't we?
Yeah, plenty of news and notes to talk about. Good to be with you again, Jim. There's some stuff cooking and there's some stuff shaking, and some of it points to the 2021 season. Some of it points beyond in recruiting. But there's been a good bit of news around Penn State this week, football-wise.
Let's hit it. Let's go with this, Andy. And this is important to Penn State fans. That's who our listeners are. A week or so ago, a letter came out from the Penn State Athletic Administration to season ticket holders. As things are now in the state, 50% capacity for outdoor venues, but you also have to distance. Translation was, if we were to start a game right now in State College, you'd only have 20,000 people or so in the stadium. Lo and behold, the state now comes out with a ruling as of, I believe it's Memorial Day weekend. There will be no more restrictions except for masks, and things will change there based on how many people get vaccinated. If you rewrite that letter now, based on rules in the state, you could have full capacity at Beaver Stadium, right?
That's the way I interpret it. Last week that letter is now really old news, right?
Exactly.
So it's interesting because, is this the rules say that you can fill that stadium how you want, and the governor punted it back to the university to decide how they want to do that, how they want to administer it. But I mean, the way the pandemic is trending and, the way, vaccination is available and readily available now, as we speak, I mean, they're sort of worried about losing it in some places, that it's going to go bad, but you can walk into a Giant and get a vaccination right on the spot pretty much now. It seems like in September, as long as we continue to trend as a country the way we're trending right now with the pandemic, there's absolutely no reason not to add capacity to the stadium. Whether or not it's every single seat crammed or whether it's 75% capacity, that's what the university gets to decide. Whether or not you have to be vaccinated or have proven COVID test, or whether if you're not vaccinated you can't get in, all those things have to be decided. But I'm pretty confident in saying you can expect at least half to three quarters of Beaver Stadium to be full come the first home game, at least. And I think there's more hurdles to get to full capacity, but, half to three quarters is certainly a heck of a lot better than 20,000 that they said last week, and a zero for any game in 2020 in terms of fans.
And there are some hurdles left to go, because the university itself has to decide what they want to do with this. The Big Ten has said they're not going to be part of this. The state has essentially said, hey, all the restrictions are gone as far as we're concerned. So this right now is all on the university. And what was interesting this past week, Governor Wolf, I guess he was in State College, and you had James
Correct.
Franklin and one of the players, Theo Johnson. And the theme of that meeting was, get the vaccination. The more of you who get vaccinated, the better the chance of having a full house, which leads to the question, would the university do something, which has been happening in other venues and other places? I mentioned in New York State, the rule right. was right now it's 20% capacity at professional sports stadiums, but you have to either be vaccinated or have a recent negative test. Would the university be capable of implementing that requirement, Andrew?
Well, as we're looking at it right now, and it's 2021, so technology evolves fast, right? There's a couple things that come to mind when I think of myself, if you're a sports fan, right? So we're sports fans, right? if I'm a sports fan and I want to go see an NFL or a college football game, how do I clear my hurdles, right? What do I think is a possible hurdle in a pandemic world that would prevent me? It's wearing of a mask, possibly, and getting a COVID test. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's a personal choice. Do I want to, if I'm in favor of vaccination or against it, then I come into the sports fan. Well, I probably would give myself better opportunity to go to anything I want to if I was vaccinated and would say, okay, I'll wear a mask. In terms of the university, I mean, the only thing you have now is your CDC card if you're vaccinated. There's no way to electronically on an app enter it in and be universal, and maybe that's coming. I think that's going to help full venues. I think it would be more difficult for the university to require vaccination, right, as we sit right now. But I think requiring masks and saying we'll take, you know, 80 or 90,000, but you're going to have to be masked, that seems like an easier requirement for me. But I think the university wants to make it as easy and as safe as possible. And I think 107,000 is a goal, but making it easier and safe, that's going to be the tricky part for the university.
It will be tricky. And as you said, Andrew, I'm vaccinated. The only way I have of proof is that piece of paper, that card. Right. And are they going to check that at the gate? It's not like it's not a long way in already.
Right.
You add that to the mix, things could get very complicated. All right, Andrew, let's move on. Let's get to some actual football news. And another announcement came out. Inai White, who is the number one ranked high school football player in Pennsylvania in the class of 22. He's a defensive end out of Philadelphia. He named his top eight teams that were left that he will consider going to, committing to. And it doesn't include Penn State. It does include all the big boys, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia. My question to you is this a big deal, especially after we had the last couple years, Julian Fleming, number one in the state to Ohio State, Nolan Rucci, number one in the state to Wisconsin. Now for the third straight year, Penn State does not get the number one player in the state. Is it a big deal?
No, to me, it's a trend, right? Now, you look at his list, too, right? And he's a national recruit, right? So that means Penn State was never on his radar. He's looking at big-time major college. I mean, the only Big Ten school is Ohio State. I mean, Oregon's on the list. It's all SEC, ACC, and that's where he wants to go. And he's a national recruit. I don't think it's that big a deal. I look at the 2022 class because I think it's a really good class. And I look at what is Penn State doing in the state. Okay, the number one guy is off the board. But they've already got the number four guy, Mekhi Flowers, is committed. Ken Talley, the number six guy, the athlete from Northeast in Philadelphia, committed, right? Quarterback, Bo Pribula, top 10 player in the state, committed. They're in deep on the number two player in the state, the corner from St. Joe's, Keenan Nelson. They're also in really deep on Nick Singleton, the stud running back from Governor Mifflin. So they're not getting the number one, but they're in on the two and three. They're really deep on Nick Singleton, number three. They've got the number four, and they already have three commitments from the top 10. I think that's doing a good job in the state. If you just focus on the number one player, I'd say, yeah, it's a concern. But it'd be a bigger concern to me if they were also in the Badlands, or, you know, it was dry, slim pickings on the top 10 players, particularly in this class, because I think 2022 is a good class for Pennsylvania.
And I think you make a good point here where if Penn State does a good job in recruiting, and right now they have what is ranked as a top 10 class for 2022 so far, long way to go, but so far so good. It's different than the last 2 years where they didn't recruit well. Last year in particular, they only got one member of the top 10 players out of Pennsylvania, and that was Lonnie White, who kind of snuck into the top 10 late. It was an issue there. I think the only reason why it's an issue this year is because it was the last couple of years, and as you said, has that now become a trend? Speaking of trends, Andrew, I think we've got another trend coming. There was a commitment this week from a junior college player, Tyrese Mills, committed. And stop me if you've heard this before. He's a safety out of Lackawanna Junior College. Does that sound familiar? Jaquan Brisker, Jair Brown?
Sounds like Jaquan Brisker and Jair Brown. Sounds like they're going for experience, and they're going back to the well where they got a well-developed player from a junior college already. Why wouldn't you? Would you?
Definitely. And if it worked once and worked twice, hey, that looks like it's becoming a trend, and you're developing this pipeline to Lackawanna Junior College, which is fine if you're producing players, and you are. Jaquan Brisker is a no doubt starter.
Oh yeah,
potential stud player, real good player. And Jair Brown, they raved about him during the spring. He could be starting alongside. That is turning into a very good track record, Andrew. So absolutely no problem with that recruit at all.
Yeah, and here's the other thing about it. It is sort of the definition of insanity. They've recruited safeties that they thought were good players, but they've had trouble kind of the entire James Franklin era, pretty much, outside of one or two exceptions, a little bit. But safety has been a bugaboo in terms of player development for the guys they recruited at the position, right? They've had to convert guys from other positions and kind of, rob Peter to pay Paul. So if that's not working, if you're not able to identify the players that transition and develop to production on the field, then you got to go about it differently. And they went about it differently, and Jaquan Brisker was the first. It worked. Why not try it again?
Exactly. And, the opposite of going down the same path and failing, and you're just beating your head against a wall. If you do another thing and it works, stick with the formula. Here's the formula. We're getting good players out of Lackawanna Junior College. They're doing something right up there. That's leading to players coming to Penn State. It was also nice to see, apparently, Mills was just thrilled, very excited about coming to Penn State. He got great information from the former players from his school. That's how you create the pipeline. All right, Andrew, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around for quarter number two. We have Ross in for Tucker's Tape.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.